Tom Tebbit, writer for Tennis Canada, co-host of Aces, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Good morning, Tom.
Howdy.
Was your story written?
No. I'm writing mostly about the Canadians, so I was just a fan like I was just a fan like everybody else, so I was keeping track of it and certainly thought it two sets up that he was going to win the match. But, you know, occasionally what happens is you get up two sets and you go on automatic pilot a little bit. You sort of think it's over, and the other guy gets fired up because he's pretty ticked because he lost the first two sets, and then you never really get it back because the other guy gets going. And this happened to Federer, I think, 3 or 4 years ago against Joe Wilfried Tsonga. He won the first two sets, so that's one of those two matches that you talked about. And Tsonga just was a house of fire for three sets. That one I thought was a little bit more just Tsonga just being unbelievable. Yesterday, I still have a suspicion that there was something a little wrong with Federer. He took a tumble in the second set. Afterwards, he didn't say anything. You know, he's above the fray. He's not going to make an excuse or anything. But I suspect there might be a little something. But full credit to Anderson. You know, he used to be known as a choker. I remember he missed a very easy shot, to beat Dimitrov in Toronto a couple of years ago. And you sort of thought, this guy can't come through in the clutch, but he sure did yesterday.
Well, where does this fit in the history of upsets at Wimbledon?
Well, you know, I guess part of the fact that I'm an old geezer and Roger's getting to be an old geezer, that I remember years ago somebody said that an old champion, Pancho Gonzalez, said that when you get older, the thing is you don't have that many bad matches, but you don't know when they're going to come. So I had a feeling this year, everybody kept asking me who's going to win, who's going to win. And of course I said Federer because it's a logical thing, but I had a little thing in the back of my mind, you know, at some point this catches up with you, or at some point, as he said himself yesterday, just have a bad day. So, you know, I think it's hard to find a 100% logical explanation. But the funny thing is, of course, last year he won the Australian, then he won Wimbledon, and Nadal won the French, and then he won the U.S. Open. And this year, Federer wins the Australian Open, Nadal wins the French. You think this is going to go on forever, this pattern, but obviously it is not.
So, Tom, we saw yesterday Milos Raonic falling in four sets to John Isner, a great opportunity for Milos gone by the wayside. And he did say post-match that he thinks he may have tore something in his right leg, which is not great news for him. How much of a factor do you think that played in yesterday's match?
Well, I think it was a big factor. I mean, it happened to him, I think, in the ninth game of the match. He had a treatment with extension bandage put on. He was ahead 6-5 in the first set. He did go on and win the first set tiebreak. He did actually have a set point in the second set tiebreak, which I thought Isner played very well. Full credit to him. But then once Isner got it, one set all, I think sort of Milos knew. And when he told us afterwards that he thinks it's a tear, I mean, he's had so many injuries. You know, if it was one of us, we probably wouldn't know. But he's had so many injuries that you sort of get the feeling he's probably right about this one. And, you know, definitely by the that when there was a break early in the third set, Isner started to roll, and you could kind of see the writing on the wall. So it's a real heartbreak for Milos because everybody knows he has the ability to win Wimbledon. He's been in the final here, and, you know, things were really, in a sense, breaking for him, if you thought about it. He played the match after Federer lost. You know, he just had to beat Isner, and then he would have played Anderson in the semis. And I know guys like Nadal and even Djokovic don't like playing him. He's got the big serve. He can neutralize some of their finesse and everything. He can just overpower them. So, you know, really was a golden opportunity this year to maybe win Wimbledon. So it was tough to see him in the press conference afterwards because, I mean, he's had so many injuries, so many disappointments, and this is the tournament he points to all year long, and it's gone for another year.
There was a serve for Isner where he was thrown off by the crowd. Some suggested that's when England scored. True or not that they confiscated radios yesterday so people couldn't react to the World Cup game that was going on at the same time?
Geez, I don't know about that, but I definitely think it could be true because I know that they weren't showing the match anywhere on the site. And every day when a match was on, especially like France or England, one of the big countries, we have blinds besides our desk, and my desk is right beside the window, and there's a big passageway with all kinds of people going by outside, and they'd come by about a half an hour before every important game and pulled down the blinds because they didn't want the people peeking through the windows at our TV sets, many of which were unfortunately on the soccer game. So not mine, but people would peek through the window and try to follow that way. So they did everything they could to discourage anybody following the World Cup.
So, Tom, now you've got these two semifinals on the men's side. Who do you like heading into the final?
Geez, that's really, I mean, I think the Djokovic and Nadal match obviously is deserving of a final. It's sort of unfortunate that it's in the semifinals, but it's going to be a fascinating encounter because, I mean, Djokovic definitely seems to have his game back, and Nadal is just a force of nature. We saw that yesterday coming back from two sets to one down against Del Potro. So I think that's just a fantastic matchup, and I think we'll all be excited to see it. As for Isner and Anderson, they played since their college days. They know each other very well. I think Isner has a superior record against them. So I guess I'd give him a little bit of an edge. And I thought Isner did play very well against Milos yesterday, despite the fact that Milos was diminished. So I guess I'd go for... It's hard to deny Nadal, but I go for Nadal. I just think he's playing very well. But, I mean, that's a 50-50 and a slight edge to Isner. And, unfortunately, Isner Nadal in the final will be great, but I think maybe anticlimactic after Nadal and Djokovic in the semifinal.
What would this do, another Wimbledon, for Nadal, for him being in the conversation for the greatest of all time?
Well, he's creeping up. I mean, if Federer got it, he'd be four ahead. And now if Nadal gets it, Federer's only 20 to 18. So, obviously, and Nadal's 32 to 37 fairly soon for Federer. So, you know, lots of time for him if he stays healthy to catch up. But, I mean, it's a tricky conversation. There's so many other things I think should go into it. But, I mean, I'm always going to be, I hate to admit it, a Federer guy. But, I mean, Nadal is just a fantastic player. And, you know, like I said, in terms of the totals, he'll be creeping up, you know, very close if he can come through and win this on Sunday.
You know, Tom, we always talk about Roger Federer and just what he's able to do at this stage of his career, 36 years old. He's going to turn 37 next month, of course. But it's hard to also believe that Serena Williams is going to be turning 37 as well. It still feels like she's still so young when you watch her play. Of course, she's a new mom, and that has played a big factor into what has gone on the last few years of her career, of course, with her taking some time off. But watching her, it seems like she hasn't missed a beat. And with the final three players remaining and her not included in that, it's difficult to see her not winning another Wimbledon title.
Yeah, I think she beats Julia Gerges today. I don't see Gerges having the overall experience and everything to beat her. So, but Serena's played well so far. There's been some shaky moments, especially earlier on, but she seems to be finding her game. And, you know, mainly it's her willpower. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen anybody like her. Maybe Monica Seles, Chris Everett was very good. But, I mean, her willpower and just determination on court is second to none. So that's a very hard thing for somebody like Gerges, who's not used to this situation, to be in. The other match is fantastic, actually, I think. And it's sort of interesting. Everybody despairs. I've been to millions of tennis tournaments, and you lose the seeds in the first round, and he's not there, she's not there. What's going to happen? Nobody's there. Boom. Look at these semifinals today. You got a Grand Slam champion, Ostapenko, from the French Open. You got Angelique Kerber, who's a Grand Slam champion from the U.S. Open and the Australian Open. And then you got Serena Williams, who's, you know, won 23 Grand Slam titles. So for all the, you know, the people disappearing, you've got a pretty classy group there, except maybe for Gerges. So I think Ostapenko and Kerber is a fantastic match. Ostapenko's young, frisky. Good on her to have lost in the first round trying to defend the French Open last month or the month before. And she comes back and played great here. Angelique Kerber has really revived. You know, she was number one in the world 2 years ago, won two Grand Slams. She's kind of a counterpuncher. Ostapenko is a puncher for sure. So that's a great matchup in the first match in the semifinals this afternoon.
Tom Tebbett, writer, Tennis Canada. You said millions of matches. You still get the same buzz, Wimbledon, year after year?
Yeah, no, it's a secret place. I came here 1975, believe it or not, and I came up to the front gate on a Thursday night before the tournament started. There's some guy there in sort of a plaid jacket, and he said, "Well, go on in and just take a look at the center court." So I go in up this staircase, and all of a sudden you're standing there looking at the grass at center court. I mean, that wouldn't happen anymore now. I mean, you got security checks, and you know, you have to take out your computer and start it. But I mean, that I'll never forget that night, just standing there looking at center court, thinking, "Man, this is sort of the cathedral of the sport." So it's a heck of a place. They've done a great job over the years, sort of renovating things, making a little more room for people, and just innovating. And, of course, next year we'll have a second roof on court number one. So there'll be two of the main courts with retractable roofs. So it's incredible what they do to keep this place up to date.
Co-host of Aces on Sportsnet 590, the fan writer, Tennis Canada, Tom Tebbett. Great job as usual. Thank you so much for taking some time out for us.
You're welcome, guys.